in the 12 Inquiries teaching, the blinders come off. There's no doubt about it. They just come off completely. And then it's possible for compassion to come about, compassion for oneself and compassion for others. That's the only way true compassion is possible, to really see, not only see, but also feel the depth of the despair of involvement in being all wrapped up in points of view. That's what compassion is. The birth of compassion is in that. The birth of compassion is in the ability to have unspeakable emotion that wouldn't be possible at all when one is all wrapped up in points of view, because the points of view would be, whatever they are, would be used as an antidote to any kind of depth of feeling of that sort. Compassion isn't really an experience, you could say, that is within the scope of ordinary human activity, like human emotion, or emotion that's based on points of view. And compassion doesn't come from ordinary thoughts either, or ordinary sensations or ordinary experience. Compassion is inseparable from awareness, so it's completely beyond the scope of the ordinary way of seeing things from point of view. And when many people, when they think about compassion, they think about a warm, fuzzy feeling for everyone. And that's very far from what compassion is. Very, very far. First of all, true compassion is always inseparably married to action. Skillful means and activities and qualities. And so that's very, very important. And true compassion has a wide range of what people might call emotions, and that it has a depth of feeling that isn't possible from within the scope of ordinary points of view. It has a depth of feeling not only for oneself, but also for everyone, all beings everywhere, and it has complete understanding of oneself and all beings everywhere. And so you see, this feeling of total despair is actually great. It's a great occurrence. It's not anything that we should try to get rid of. Because it's only when we can just acknowledge it and let it be as it is while we maintain awareness that we really start to open up to relentless compassion. This is very important. An easy way to go after finishing the 12 inquiries is to participate fully in receiving the formal teachings from a qualified teacher. And all the teachings in the Power of Wisdom series, and also Principles of Unity and Service. This will make life a lot easier. And it'll just completely resolve all points of view whatsoever without you needing to do anything or go through great trials and tribulations of trying to do it on your own. And so you see, these teachings came about for that purpose. They came about so that it would be easy. And the purpose of the teachings is to make it easy. That's the purpose of the teachings. the purpose of the teachings isn't to make it difficult and add in a lot of other points of view to life. The purpose of the teachings is to make it easy. And so by taking advantage of the teachings and the teachers, then you'll make it easy. So this is really good. The teachings aren't something that are a drag or something that is difficult to listen to or hard to hear. These Power of Wisdom teachings are like nectar. They're just like the words that you've always wanted to hear. And in the 12 inquiries in the pure space section of each inquiry, those are writings from the Power of Wisdom series of teachings. They're the words that make all other words make sense. And so it's really important to hear and to read words that make all words make sense, isn't it? Otherwise, you'll be lost at sea, a stormy sea of points of view. It's just like your story, Sage. If someone says to you, "Oh, I've got this great boat, and it's called stillness, or it's called emptiness, or..." some kind of non-conceptual state, and let's go out on that boat, and you say, "Oh no, you know, the seas are way too heavy," and the person says, "Oh, but on my boat, stillness or emptiness or no self or whatever the name of the boat is, we'll be fine on the heavy seas." And then you go out there and you see that a small boat cannot possibly withstand 50-foot swells. It's going to be completely swamped. And so no one in their right mind would go out on a heavy sea with in a small craft like that, no matter what its name was. And so you want to make sure that you don't get lost in other points of view just because they seem to be better points of view than the points of view you've been having. Points of view like bliss, clarity, and other non-conceptual states are, or getting into some kind of a state of emptiness. These are just other points of view. They're not really any place you want to be. Once you go out through the channel here, first of all, to get out of the channel, you want to go out when the tide's going out and not when the tide is coming in. So you see, that's a trick of safe boating. You go out. But in these bays and harbors along the West Coast, there are some channels that are very, very difficult. Here, the channel isn't as difficult as some because it goes from the lagoon into a bay, and then the bay goes to the open ocean. But in some of these enclosed harbors, safe harbors, the channel opens directly into the open ocean, and those channels are much more dangerous. So, you know, once you get out there, if the tide has turned, you're not coming back, no matter what the weather's like. Once you're out there, it's all over, so to speak. And that's how people are lost at sea, because things happen. Things happen in the world of points of view. So if we get lost in the magic show of point of view, then it'll be like being on a stormy sea in a small craft, then we don't have any hope whatsoever of weathering the storm. There's no way of doing it. And when we first hear about the practice of short moments of awareness repeated many times until it becomes automatic. To some of us, it makes absolute sense from the beginning. And like a woman I was talking to about 10 days ago, she said, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm finishing up a few books. And she said, oh, what are the titles? And I said, well, one is One Simple Change Makes Life Easy. And then the other one is Short Moments Repeated Many Times Become Automatic. And she said, that is exactly what I've always wanted to hear. She said, that affirms everything I believe. And she said, just those titles are an incredible teaching. Now, you see, some people might have that response initially, and other people may just say, well, you know, I hear something in that. There's something I'm hearing in that. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm going to explore it more. I think I'll check it out. Because the other things I've been doing haven't working. And other people will just scoff at it and say, oh, yeah. No, it has to be instantaneous or this, that, or the other thing without inquiring any further. Now, if you're among the first two groups of people, you are exceedingly fortunate. You do not know how fortunate you are. And even though you may feel extremely fortunate, you will grow to feel that you're even more fortunate. So no matter how fortunate you feel today, every single day you will feel more and more fortunate to have heard the great, great teaching of short moments repeated many times become automatic, because this is the intelligent ground of true freedom that is found in your very own awareness. The intelligent ground of true freedom that does not require you to change yourself in any way, because there is the instantaneous acknowledgement in that instant of freedom that everything whatsoever is included. And that knowledge that everything whatsoever is included in that instant of awareness is the definition of wisdom. When we know that everything whatsoever that is included in an instant of awareness is wisdom, then we'll never be fooled by appearances again. We won't take them to be something they aren't. And so, you see, wisdom isn't something that can be learned. It's only something that can be instinctively realized. Instinctive realization is beyond the scope of ordinary thought and reason. It's beyond the scope of learning and figuring things out. It's abiding as the basis of everything, as the basic space of everything, as the pristine space that is the space of ordinary space. And so you see, it's completely beyond anything that we can conceptualize. The space of ordinary space is way beyond anything that can be conceptualized. It includes and contains everything that can be conceptualized, including ordinary space. And so, by the power of short moments repeated many times, what is being stated here becomes very obvious in the radiance of your own awareness. And so, even though you may have identified yourself in many ways, the more you identify with awareness, the less you identify yourself in those other ways. The more you identify as awareness, the more wisdom is apparent in your life. It's apparent in your thoughts, in your emotions, and in your actions. Compassion is more and more apparent in your thoughts, emotions, and actions. And so this is really what everyone wants. There's no one who doesn't want this. Even if someone doesn't know they want this, they want it. It's because it's a basic human need. It's the most basic of human needs. It's more basic than any other need. It's more basic than the need for food or shelter or clothing or anything. And it is the source of love. It's the only source of true love. The love that is beyond the scope of points of view. And so you see everything that I've just described here, all this is present already in one moment, one short moment of awareness. And when we take short moments of awareness repeatedly, then we gain confidence in awareness in a completely uncontrived way. That is without intellectual speculation. Do you understand what I'm saying? A short moment of awareness repeatedly is completely uncontrived and without intellectual speculation. No intellectual speculation is necessary, and no contrivance is necessary. You don't need to get wrapped up in any point of view in order to get to awareness. Awareness is naturally present as the essence of every single perception, so why look anywhere else? Why create a special point of view that's going to somehow make you see that? That's just sad. It isn't necessary any longer. And so, because the moment of awareness is so simple and so easy, it also makes practical sense. Because obviously the basis of everything would have to be present right here in a very accessible way. That's really the only thing that makes practical sense, isn't it? That's just common sense. It couldn't be some long, involved, rigorous process where you alternately feel bad about yourself, which is most of the time like you're not doing it right, and then once in a while feel good about what you're doing. You see, the basis of who you are is glaringly obvious all the time. And in that short moment of awareness, repeated many times, you begin to instinctively realize that without intellectual speculation. You don't have all the concerns of trying to twist and shape your language into a form that will somehow make you see the light. Like never using personal pronouns or that sort of thing. trying to get rid of the ego or the pain body or the I or whatever it is. There is no context whatsoever for an ego, a pain body, or an I. Why work on something when there's no context for its existence? All of these are a point of view appearing within the pure space of awareness, but they've never been anything substantial. There's never been anything independently generated that has power over the primordial purity of your own awareness. So never be fooled again by anyone who tries to tell you that you have something wrong with you that you need to work on. Whatever you think is wrong with you, remain as you are and let it appear and resolve within the expanse of your own immaculate radiance. That'll help you more than anything, no matter what it is. You're using antidotes galore to soothe your pain, whatever they are, just start to rest as awareness. All the antidotes will take care of themselves. The focus has to be on short moments many times. And spending time trying to get rid of your faults is best spent in an instant of awareness. If you want to spend time and effort on getting rid of your faults, then that time is best spent in an instant of awareness. And why is that the case? Because in an instant of awareness, all qualities are already present. All sublime, supreme qualities are already present. So why try to foster, cultivate, and contrive some kind of qualities, mundane qualities, when there are supreme, sublime qualities and activities already present in an instant of awareness? Even if you may not see that in the beginning, it's true, and you can mark my words, it will become obvious to you. But even if you relax enough initially, you'll see it, that all these sublime and supreme qualities are present initially too. And you'll see it in the great relief that you're given when you take an instant of awareness, and the great relief and freedom from the heavy seas of points of view. And so you see, if you can trust in awareness just enough to get a foothold there, it'll be worth your while. Short moments of awareness are very powerful. They're very, very powerful. Now, in this part of the world, we have great forest fires that come through here once in a while, accompanied by high winds. Now, each one of these forest fires, they start with just the tiniest spark. And then they're fueled by the high wind, so that it might burn in a small area, but then the wind comes along and it takes a spark and it jumps over to another area. So even if the firefighters come in the air and dump enormous buckets of water on it and fire retardant and everything else, the spark's already flown somewhere else. And so some of these fires just need to burn themselves out because they'll keep going forever through their own force. And gaining confidence and awareness is like a wildfire, because that first moment of awareness that you recognize when you're first introduced to awareness as the basis of your experience If you then return to that awareness, it'll encourage the flame of awareness to grow. It'll be like the breeze that fans the forest fire. And as more short moments of awareness become obvious, then the whole forest of points of view goes up in flames. So you see, these short moments of awareness have great power. And the short moments many times is not to be underestimated. It's only as underestimated due to points of view of arrogance and pride. That's the only reason it's ever underestimated. Points of view of arrogance and pride that say, couldn't be so simple. I know something better. I know something better that if I can just stay in a non-conceptual state or renounce the world or renounce even one small point of view, whatever it is, that'll do it. These kinds of points of view are due to arrogance and pride that says, I know better, and nothing can contribute to me. And so you see, when we feel that way, we just cut ourselves off completely from our only refuge, from our only comfort, from our only source of love, wisdom, and compassion. Short moments repeated many times always works. It always works. If it's watered with a little bit of diligence and commitment, then beautiful flowers grow. And so you see, what grows from short moments of awareness, it's not like the flowering of ordinary flowers, because these flowers are made of space. They're made of stainless sky, stainless flawless sky. And that's what awareness is like, stainless, flawless sky. It's never been made into anything or tied up in any knots. No matter what labels appear, they're nothing but pure sky. The pure sky of awareness, there isn't anything happening there. It's like an illusion, but it's not an illusion because the illusion never happened. So it's just like an illusion. All the while, whatever appears is pure, like stainless sky. And so when we take short moments of awareness and repeat them many times, we have more and more pristine awareness is the basis of all our perceptions. We instinctively realize awareness to be the basis of everything that is perceived. And the more we gain confidence in awareness, the less we feel that awareness was somehow generated inside our body. We're not so wrapped up in our name anymore as our identity. when we were conceived and born, we didn't have a name. That came later. Yet we place great importance on this name, and we puff up when it's praised, and we get angry or afraid when it's attacked or made wrong. But all the while, nothing ever happened. The nameless appears as a name just to show its face of wisdom. So don't ever be confused about that again. Okay?